Much like a picture of a loved one, so too the Word of God is that wonderful picture of our elder brother, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll learn about him next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us, won't you? On behalf of United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Each day we come to you for a few minutes with a brilliant look at God's Word. And today, it's our hope and prayer that you come away with a new and fresh view of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching, teaching, and study of God's Word. Won't you join us with this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's our teacher and pastor now, Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace on this Friday session. Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church is with me, and we are again taking up where we left off last week. If you had joined us and tuned in to our subject on the offices that the Lord has ordained and formed for His church in the New Testament, that we find throughout the office of the pastor, the Christian pastor, the office of elder, and the office of deacon, and we looked at last week, we contrasted a bit what's going on with these different models of ministry, and we looked at sort of the model where the pastor is a CEO and sits in his chair and whatever he says directs everything, or the opposite extreme is that everyone we hear today is a pastor, there's no distinction in offices. Over against all of those views is the view of Scripture that the Lord has appointed elders. There's the minister of the word and elders. They are equal in honor and authority and dignity. Mm-hmm. They're different in function and in task. Mm-hmm. But that honor and dignity needs to be understood. And that's what we highlighted last week as we looked at let the elders, those who rule well, be worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and in doctrine. There we see that equal honor and equal dignity that's given, though their task is different. The pastor is set aside to preach the word. He is under the oversight of the elders. The elders are to oversee and make sure the word is faithfully preached. So, Wes, do you want to add anything today? What do you think are some of the challenges the church is facing today? And maybe we can interact a bit with what these different models have brought upon the church and the consequences of different models.
Well, last time we talked about the relationship between one's conception of the office of pastor and how you perceive the preaching of the word. And we noted that there is this idea out there that preaching, it can be inspiring, but at the end of the day, it's really just what a man is saying. It's just a man's ideas, his insights into the word of God. And, you know, when you're sitting in the pew and your pastor is preaching, you know, you can take it or leave it. You're not under any compulsion to accept what he has to say. However, we saw last time that the preaching of the Word of God, according to Scripture, the preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God. And we should be clear that what we mean is that when the preaching is done faithfully in accordance with Scripture, when it is the Word of God being preached, it is the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God. And we talked about last time about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, where it says that he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. We noted that Jesus Christ had never been in Ephesus. So how did Jesus Christ preach in Ephesus to the people there? It was through the ministers of the gospel, like Paul and Timothy and others. Well, today we look at Romans chapter 1, and there we find the same sort of thing. We find that I'll begin reading at Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Paul wants to come to the Roman believers. Now, why is that? Well, we'll keep reading. Verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now. Paul wants to come to them. That I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, and here we get the reason, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So Paul has written this letter to the Romans, now part of the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but what he really wanted to do was to preach to them. And if we want to know the reason why that is, why he wanted to preach to them, well, then we turn to Romans chapter 10 a little bit further on. You know, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Now, this is very important, because what we're highlighting here is really the responsibility of the Christian pastor today. All that we're highlighting is these great calls to preach the word in season, out of season, 2 Timothy 4, because this is the means that God is using to save souls, and the responsibility of the elders. It's not that the pastor is standing up preaching his own opinions. Mm-hmm. He is sent by the Lord to faithfully, as an ambassador of Christ, bring the treaty seals of the covenant, preaching the gospel, because this is the power of God to save those who believe. So
right.
I was thinking of 1 Peter 1 in this connection. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And then he goes on, now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. So the power there is that the Lord is bringing about the new birth, being born again, changing the heart, circumcising the heart through the message preached.
Yeah.
And that's why a faithful proclamation of the gospel has to be heard. And I think of also in this connection of Hebrews 2, therefore we must give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? So he's saying that now Christ has spoken in these last days.
Mm-hmm.
He's spoken to us in his word, and as Wes has already highlighted, through his messengers whom he sends to preach.
Exactly.
Preach the gospel.
Yeah. And that comes through also in another New Testament word that's used to describe preachers, and that's heralds. A herald in the New Testament time was somebody who was sent with a message on behalf of somebody else, usually somebody who's higher up, an authority. And a herald had to bring exactly the message with which he had been entrusted. And when a herald's message was heard, it was the same as hearing the message of the one who sent him.
That's exactly correct, and Paul will rehearse this time and time again. I'm so thankful for the pastoral epistles, Wes, because what they are instructions to a pastor on his role of ministry. It's amazing that people don't get this today,
mm-hmm.
but we have whole epistles written to pastors on what they're supposed to be doing. And you know, he says he warns in 2 Timothy 3 that these perilous times will come, these dangerous days, where you're going to have men who will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. This is just a long list, having a form of godliness but denying its power.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are they denying? Well, they don't want the power of the message preached, God's power that he has chosen to save. They've gone after everything else. And Paul's call to Timothy in the midst of that is, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of. And where does he go? Knowing from whom you've learned them, that from childhood you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to highlight all scriptures given by inspiration. And what's the charge? Preach the word in season, out of season.
And I think that's a message that really needs to be heard today in our churches, Chris. You know, there's so much to say here, but, you know, if we look around us, how much of preaching isn't like good advice or life principles or life coaching instead of the preaching of the word of God? You know, Paul says also in that same in 2 Timothy 2, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that gets to the heart of what a pastor is called to do. He's called to you know, convict people of sin with the word of God and bring them to the cross of Jesus Christ through the gospel.
You know, it's interesting, Wes, and I've looked at this. It's always amazed me in these pastoral epistles, but the role of the pastor, you know, he always equates faithful preaching of the gospel with suffering.
Yeah.
Who's suffering for the preaching of the gospel today?
Yeah.
Well, the reason is because they're not bringing anything of offense. But if you're rightly dividing the word of truth, what is the word doing? Well, it's living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's piercing to the division of joints and marrow. So what it's doing is entering the heart of sinners, and it's exposing.
Yeah.
And when it does, that means you're preaching about sin. People are going to be a little bothered, aren't they?
Yeah. Well,
or you're absolutely not doing your job.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know, and that goes to, you know, preaching the whole counsel of God, which was what the Apostle Paul endeavored to do as well. You know, if we restrict ourselves to preaching on the passages that make people feel good about themselves, if we restrict ourselves to passages that give principles for living or what have you, are we really preaching the whole counsel of God? Are we really, you know, directing people to fix their eyes on Christ, the Savior?
Right, and that's the real calling here, you know, to be an example, Timothy, in what? Word and conduct.
Yeah.
So there's two real callings for the Christian pastor. Yeah. You know, how sad it is today, just briefly, how sad it is today that a minister can stand up and proclaim the word, but then in his life, we see this constantly where ministers are, you know, get involved in some heinous sin, and it's the damage that does to the whole flock at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So it's word and life.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to encourage our listeners to find a church where the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, where the word of God is central, where the word of God is being preached.
That's our calling. And again, I leave with the verse before you comment, Wes, here in 1 Timothy, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. That's what you do every week at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're in Langley, close to the airport. People can find us on the internet as well, www.langleycanrc.org. Our worship services are 9:30 and 2 o'clock on Sundays.
Well, we are thankful every week to bring these to you. And email us your questions. We're happy to take them up here at Abounding Grace. Until another edition, may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
Opening up the Word of God that we might let its light shine into our hearts and minds. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We know your time is valuable, and to carve out a few minutes for us means a great deal to us. We thank you for spending time with us. If you would like to contact us here at Abounding Grace, we'd love to hear from you. Your letters of encouragement, your questions, comments, prayer requests, that would mean so much to us to know that you're partnering with us in a prayerful manner such as this. Our desire is to see you grow in Christ, and that's what we've made ourselves available for. 360-318-0429 is our phone number. Again, 360-318-0429. You can also find us on the web, lindenurc.com. A lot of information there about who we are and what we believe. In fact, if you would like to join us for worship, we'll have a map there for you. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Sunday services, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Again, the directions can be found at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. As always, it's a real privilege and a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word, and we look forward to the next opportunity that we'll have to spend time with you once again in God's Word. Until then, God bless.